Shortly after midnight on June 5, 1968, Robert F. Kennedy was wrapping up his victory speech after the California primary.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. Thank you.
In the ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles there, RFK's last words in public, before being shot by an assassin in the hotel kitchen. ABC TV went to rolling coverage. They spoke with eyewitnesses and replayed audio they had from the ballroom of the shooting itself.
Stand by to listen for the shots now.
It was not TV cameras, but a still photographer who caught the lasting image of a dying Robert Kennedy that night. In the photo, Kennedy is on the floor, limp, but his eyes are open, staring into space. A busboy crouches beside him, cradling his head, looking up, stunned. His name is Juan Romero. Last week, Romero died at the age of 68 after a heart attack. Steve Lopez is a columnist with the Los Angeles Times who got to know Romero over the last 20 years. Back in 1998, his editors at the paper mentioned the 30th anniversary of the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Lopez remembers they asked him one question.
Do you remember the photo of the busboy? It was that iconic photo that ran on the cover of Life magazine. It also ran on the front page of the LA Times. And it was a long time ago. And I said, of course, I remember the photo. Everybody remembers that. Because I was only a few years younger than Juan when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember looking at that teenager, you know, squatting at Kennedy's side, yeah, trying to help him. And I thought, my goodness, he's not much older than I am. So I set out to try to find Juan. And I found him living in San Jose. And I did the first story about Juan in 98.
So take us back to June 5th, 1968. Remind us why Juan Romero was right next to Robert Kennedy when he was shot.
He grew up in Mexico, and the family moved to Los Angeles when Juan was about 10. Juan recalled back in Mexico being in homes where there'd be two photos on the wall, one of the Pope and one of JFK. You know, as a teenager after moving to Los Angeles, Juan was a little young to be politicized, but he did feel kind of marginalized as a Mexican immigrant. And what he remembered of the Kennedys was that they spoke of Mexican people as hardworking, God-fearing, family-oriented. So he had this respect for JFK, and he found out that Bobby Kennedy was touring California in the Democratic primary that year, running for president of the United States. So Juan had gotten a job as a busboy at the Ambassador Hotel, and when he heard that Kennedy was staying at the hotel, he went to the other busboys, and he said, I really want to meet this guy, and if there's a call from Kennedy's room, I'll do anything. I'll bus your trays for a month. I just want to meet this guy. So the call comes in, and Juan gets it with another busboy, and they go up, and he said that Kennedy was in the room, didn't answer the door, but was in the room, was on the phone, and kind of distracted, and Juan thought, well, I get to see him, but that's going to be about it. And then Kennedy gets off the phone, goes up, looks him in the eye, and shakes his hand. And Juan said it was a two-handed shake. And he remembers these blue eyes of Kennedy. And he said it was the first time he felt like an American, the first time he felt like a man. And he said he walked out of that room feeling 10 feet tall. So the next night, Bobby Kennedy wins the primary. He makes a speech in the Ambassador Hotel auditorium, and he's making an exit through the pantry area. And Juan was on duty and wanted to push through the crowd, see if Kennedy remembered him, reach out and congratulate him. So he grabs Kennedy's hand and hears the shots. And next thing he knows, Kennedy is flat on his back. And Juan didn't know they were shots. He thought it was maybe somebody had firecrackers, it was a prank. But Juan puts his right hand under Kennedy's head, the back of his head, tries to lift him and sees the blood on his hands. And then he realizes, oh my goodness. And Juan was carrying rosary beads with him, he says. He had them in his pocket. And he pulled them out, and he said he shoved them into Kennedy's hand. And he was then taken away. He was grabbed by police.
Of course, Robert Kennedy died. Juan Romero, only 17 years old at the time. Incredible. What happened to Juan Romero after that? What kind of life did he live?
Juan was haunted, so much so that he had to get out of L.A. Guests would come to stay at the Ambassador, and they would ask to see the busboy, the busboy. They wanted to have their photos taken with him. He got some letters, and he said most of the people who wrote to him or contacted him were, you did a good thing, but he got some negative stuff, too. He had people saying, if only you hadn't reached out to shake his hand, if he didn't pause to shake your hand, maybe he wouldn't have been shot. and other people saying, why couldn't you do something? Couldn't you get between Kennedy and the shooter? And Juan, as a 17-year-old, he couldn't deal with it. He quit his job. He moved all the way to Wyoming and missed California and came back, but not to L.A. He moved to Northern California, to San Jose, and eventually, you know, started his family and became a construction worker, paving. And I think that Juan was tormented. Juan lived a really difficult life, and I think he was always on the run. He wanted to both honor and remember that moment and what he took to be the Kennedy legacy of compassion and tolerance, and at the same time, thinking about it, took him back to the most horrible moment in his life, and he didn't know how to express himself, and he kind of disappeared. He didn't talk to the media for years. He didn't do much of anything except work his tail off. It was only in recent years that he began to snap out of it a little bit. He began to listen to people who were telling him, you did nothing wrong. He had a relationship on Facebook with a woman from Germany who reached out to him when I wrote one of my columns and said, you don't need to be so troubled. You didn't do anything wrong. And when I see that photo of you squatting at Kennedy's side, I see somebody who was a brave young man who wanted to help someone in need while other people retreated. And Juan began to see it that way. And in his last years, I think, had a little bit of relief. He was still kind of a searcher. He was always looking for something, some truth, some explanation as to why he was in that moment at that time, and to figure out what he needed to do with it.
Yeah, it is unexplainable, isn't it? As you said, you'd catch up with Juan Romero from time to time. And one time you went with him to Arlington National Cemetery to visit Robert Kennedy's grave. Tell me about that. What was that like?
Juan had talked for years about wanting to pay his respects. He wanted to go to Kennedy's grave. And I was in Washington at the hotel with him the night before he was going to go to the cemetery. He was with a longtime good buddy of his, a retired TV newsman, a guy by the name of Rigo Chacon. And we were talking about this visit, and Juan was saying that he wanted to apologize. He had talked like that for a long time, and Rigo and I said, you have nothing to apologize for. And he said, I just want to tell him that, you know, I miss him, and that I wish I could have found a way to stop the bullets. So the next morning we go, and Juan is wearing his suit. He's got the tie squared, and we walk across the cemetery, and Juan wanted a moment to himself with Kennedy. And he walked over and he knelt down. He dropped his head and he wept. And he later told me that he just told Kennedy he was sorry and that he would never forget him. And he wished he could have done more.
That is incredible, the story some people live with their entire lives. That was LA Times reporter Steve Lopez remembering Juan Romero, the busboy in that 1968 photo of a dying Robert F. Kennedy. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios here at WGBH in Boston. We'll be back with you here tomorrow.